Let's pray together. This is our heart's cry this morning, Heavenly Father, that we just bow in humble surrender and reverence to you, Almighty God, and cry, "You are holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." This is our heart's desire this morning, Lord Jesus, that we would bow before you and cry, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and praise." And we give you honor and glory and praise this morning, Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord. We praise you in song. We praise you with our hearts. We praise you with our voices this morning. We praise you, O God. We praise you for the freedoms that we enjoy in America. We can come to church. We get to come to church freely in America. We're persecuted believers all over the globe. Not only can they not worship you openly, they are dying for their faith all over parts of the globe today. Help us to be mindful of the persecuted church and the freedoms that we enjoy. Thank you, Father, for watching over those on our prayer focus. There are many. We pray for them this morning, and thank you for working in their hearts and lives. Thank you for working in their families and walking with them through the difficulties of life. And we pray that you would continue to do so. Be there with them and for them, we pray. We pray for our communities this morning, Heavenly Father, that won't make it to church for many reasons. Some are in jail, hospitals, care centers, sick, too sick, traveling, or some just don't want to. We pray for them today and ask that you, by your Spirit, would minister to them there too. We pray for the other churches in our communities this morning and in America, O God, that your name would be glorified. Not the denomination, not the pastor, not the deacons, not the priests, but the name of Jesus would be glorified. And so we have come this morning, Heavenly Father, to worship you, to celebrate the cross, to remember the blood, to remember the sacrifice. And so as we have gathered humbly before you, Father, examine and search our hearts. See if there be any wicked way in me or in us, and help us to confess that sin, get right with you. And so when we do come to the table, we come in a manner that is worthy of participation in the Lord's Supper with you. Glorify your name here, O Lord, now and always. Glorify your name in the other churches all over our region and this great nation. Glorify your name in America today, O God, we pray. Revive your church. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Heavenly Father, and revive your church like the Great Awakening. May we have yet another Great Awakening in America before we see judgment or something that we're not very happy about or comfortable with. Speak to hearts today, Father. Save souls. Transform lives. Give sight to the blind. Heal the sick. Set the captives free. Join marriages back together. Encourage our young people, O God. Do what you do so well and have done so many times, even in our stubbornness and sometimes our unwillingness to see you and surrender to you. Father, save us today anyway. Forgive us for our sin in America. Forgive us for our sin in the Church of America. Pride has gotten in our way. Forgive us for our prayerlessness. Forgive us for not loving you like we ought to. You have commanded us to love you with all of our heart, and we love ourselves more most of the time. Forgive us for that. Forgive us, we have not loved our neighbor the way you commanded us to. We're busy worshiping at the altar of self. Forgive us, Father, for where we find ourselves in America today, can't speak about the name of Jesus in school without repercussion. Not supposed to speak about the name of Jesus at workplace for fear of repercussion. Not willing to stand up, not able to stand up for Christian values and the Word of God for fear of repercussion. Forgive us, O God, for finding ourselves in this place in America today. We need you, Heavenly Father. From the White House to the church house, we need you. And so we implore you, Heavenly Father, today, forgive us and heal our land. Forgive me. John speaks about the sins that so easily distract us, and they have distracted us in America. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Forgive me and forgive us, Father, for falling into these temptations of the enemy. Revive your church, O God, and help us to put Jesus back in his rightful place. Help us to put you back on the throne, Heavenly Father. Get ourselves off of it and put you on it and heal our nation. Heal us in our churches. Heal us in our families. Heal us in our individual lives, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Communion Sunday. Tim, go ahead and pop that baby up. I want us to see the cross today. We can look in our Bibles. I hope you've got them. We can look in our Bibles, I think. We either bring them or there's one under a chair in front of you. Today is Communion Sunday, and I wanted us to spend adequate time in reflection on what communion means. And so please turn in your Bible to Mark 14. I so appreciate the big screen, but you need to sometimes just open your Bible and see what it says. And I would say to you again this morning, as I have said to you hundreds of times over the years, never take Jim's word for it. Take the Word. Amen. The Word of God. Never assume I know everything, because some days I don't know anything. Take this word and stand on its promises. Not what Jim or the next pastor or the next person said. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's wrong. Take this word for it. What I say, make sure it lines up with this word. And if it doesn't, then tell me. Because I want us to see the Word as the truth. So, we're in Matthew 14 today. We're being reminded of this communion, this whole idea of communion and the Lord's table. Matthew 14, beginning at verse 17, says this. In the evening, he came with the 12, that's Jesus. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, "Is it I?" And another one said, "Is it I? Am I the one that's going to be betraying you?" He answered and said to them, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish." John's gospel reminds us, John wrote, Jesus said, "It is the one that I will hand the bread." And he dipped the bread into the dish and handed it to Judas. And the Bible said, and Satan entered him. And Jesus said to Judas, "What you're going to do, do it quickly." That's John's version of the same conversation. He answered, again, verse 20, he answered and said to them, it is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and he said to them, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, the Bible says, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. The custom then was they had several cups, and this time he had this cup, probably the third one of the evening. He passed it around them, and they drank from it, all of them, from the same cup. The Bible says he gave it to them, and they all drank from it, and he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Any of you have been watching the Motley Free Methodist Facebook page this week, you have seen pictures from we have two couples from our church in Jerusalem right now. And some of you have seen the pictures that Peter and Linda have posted from the Mount of Olives. Pretty cool stuff. They sung a hymn, they left the upper room, they crossed the valley, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. He's already told them, one of you is going to betray me. Now he tells them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd. The Old Testament prophesied there's going to come a time when the shepherd is going to get stricken. And the Bible is being fulfilled. That Old Testament Bible prophecy is being fulfilled tonight when Jesus said, he quoted, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. That's the 12. The 11, Judas has already bailed. But after Jesus said, I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. And Peter, feeling I'm sure like us, Peter said, even if they are all made to stumble, I will not. He wanted to emphasize, maybe other people will deny you and betray you, but I'm not going to. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, Peter, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows the second time, you will deny me three times. But he, that's Peter, but he spoke more vehemently, the Bible says. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. They all said in essence that night, I will die for you if necessary. And Jesus just got done telling them, there's going to come a moment tonight when the shepherd will be stricken and the sheep will scatter. They will, in essence, deny their relationship to him. And in their hearts and with their words, they were saying like Peter, even if I have to die with you, I'm not going to deny you. And we all know the story. Peter did deny him three times. I don't know who he is. To save his own bacon. The disciples did scatter. All of them. The Bible says it. And Judas betrayed him with a kiss. We know the story. And what I want us to think about this morning for a few minutes before we go to communion, I want us to think about, have I in fact died to self so that I am willing to die for Jesus. It's easy to say, like the 11 did, I will never deny you. I will die first. But when you're at the end of a bullet in a chamber of a rifle and somebody says, recant or else, will you deny self to the point and say, take me home, Jesus? Will you die for Him? I don't know a whole lot about this Oregon story, but I saw a little bit of news and I heard that the gunman might have asked him, are you Christians? Did you hear that? Is that the case? What would you have done if you saw him take out the first two and then ask you, you're third in line, what would you say about Jesus? That's what I'm asking you this morning. It's easy to say, yes, I'm going to stand up for Jesus, but will you really? Is he really important to you? Because if you haven't denied yourself, you will deny him too when the time comes. If you haven't got self out of the way, which Jesus said, you cannot be my follower if you're not willing to deny yourself and take up your cross to follow me. You can't even be my follower. And I fear, just like Massey reminded us a month or so ago, I fear that masses, and maybe even Jim, I hope not, but I fear that masses in the church today, when faced with the death because a rifle is pointed right at me, or to recall, we might say, way too many of us might say, you know what, let me think that through. Jesus said to them last night, when the shepherd is stricken, the sheep are going to scatter. And that's what they did. And I wonder this morning, friends, if we have gotten ourselves off the altar and really put Jesus in his rightful place. We've gotten the money, we've gotten the things, we've gotten the prestige, we've gotten the titles, we've gotten our pride out of the way and put Jesus first. I wonder if we have. The disciples said that night, I won't deny you, I'd rather die. And they scattered. Now they did die for Jesus in time. That's a fact. All of them but John. And a whole lot more are dying for Jesus today. But friends, in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, where we've got everything, we've got instant gratification at the touch of a button, at the end of our fingers, where we have had everything. We walk to the store, we walk to the grocery to get food. We have had everything by the blessings of God, I might add. We have it really, really pretty easy. And I wonder how many in the church would really die for Jesus. Because if we haven't died to ourselves, we're not going to die for Him when the gun is pointed at us or the thugs come in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're not going to stand up for Him if we haven't got self out of the way. Next week, by the way, I'm going to be talking about the lukewarm church from Revelation, because that's what God's laid on my heart for next week. Because God has impressed upon me, as Massey said to us, and I have been saying oftentimes for some years, it's time for the church to be the church, to wake up to Jesus and be filled with the Holy Ghost and get ourselves out of the way. Ourself is in the way. We say, like the disciples that night, I won't deny you, Lord. I'd rather die for you. And then we scatter. Jesus died for us. He went to the cross. He could have bailed too. He wrestled. You know the story in the Garden of Gethsemane. He wrestled with that. He sweat, as it were, drops of blood. And he died for us so that we might live, not live to self, but live for Him. That's why he died. Amen? He died so that we might live for Him, not for Jim or you or anybody else, but Jesus. That's why He died. And I wonder how many in the church today are willing to die for Him right now. I know around the world they are. It's happening every day. They will not recant. They will not renounce their faith in Christ. They will die. And hundreds of thousands will again this year, just like every year since the time of Jesus. I wonder if we're really willing to die to self and, if called upon, die for Jesus. Many years ago, a missionary and his wife were in, this is a true story, were taken prisoner in China by Chinese terrorists. His name was the Reverend R.W. Porteous. And they were taken prisoner by Chinese terrorists, and they were led to the top of a hill where they were to be executed because of proclaiming Jesus Christ. The executioner drew out his long knife and he raised it above their heads, and the Reverend Porteous and his beloved stood there knowing certain death was imminent. And they looked at each other and they began to sing, "Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what can it be?" And as they began to sing, the executioner laid the sword down and walked away and let them go. They lived to tell that story. That's how I know about it. But they were willing to die for Jesus in that moment. When I think of Jesus and His willingness to die for me and you and the rest of humanity, and all He asks of us in return is to die to self and follow Him, I wonder if we've really done it. I wonder if we're really willing. I fear when, and Masih actually told me this, he said, "Jim, I ask people that question in churches all over, are you willing to die for the Lord? And if somebody came in here right now with his automatic and said, if you're really going to stand up for Jesus, stand in place and start being mowed down," he said to me, "I ask that question all over and I know for a fact that there's many people in every churches that would bail." And I think he's right. We haven't denied and died to self yet, and so we're blame sure not willing to die for Jesus yet either. And when I think of Jesus dying for me, and all He asks us of us is to deny ourselves and follow, that's not too much to ask. We need to decide, friends. And I don't mean a head knowledge, I mean a heart transformation. We need to decide if Jesus is the Christ and the Lord of my life or not. We need to decide if He is valid. We need to decide if He is really who He said He was and if He is really Lord of my life. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but him and her that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Massey said it, and I've felt it for years, as has Pastor Les and many other pastors. There are churches full of people that won't be in heaven. You say, Jim, well, that's a little harsh. I'm not the judge. I'm nobody's judge, eternally speaking. But if we have sat in church our whole lives and we have put our salvation on our good works or our name on the membership roll or our baptism or some class or something else, we're not ready for heaven, brothers and sisters. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Our surrendered faith in Christ is the only way to heaven. And if we just arbitrarily go through life thinking, I'm a pretty good person, I know about God, I should make it, we will be surprised on Judgment Day. We need to get right with Jesus, and the only way we're going to get right with Jesus is to get ourselves out of the way and put Jesus first. That's the only way. He said, unless you deny yourself and take up your cross, you can't be my disciple. We've got to remove self first and let Jesus be Lord. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. He hadn't yet been killed in his body. But he said this, and this is what we are called to. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I, Paul says. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, still in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We need to crucify our flesh and live for Jesus. Now, we need to close because we're going to do communion. Our time is already running out. But I want us to think about this morning. Chris, will you help me, brother? Richard? I'm going to talk about this further next week because I'm going to talk about the lukewarm church. God has put this on my heart. God has put this on my heart because time's running out. Time's running out for you, for me, for humanity. We'll die someday. We may die of old age. We may not. We may die at a young age, but time's running out. And just because I'm a good person or I believe in God up here doesn't mean I'm born again and ready for heaven. And I want us to remember today, friends, when we take this cup and we take this bread, what Jesus has done for us. He has given it all. He's given it all. He hung there on the cross and died for us so that we might live for Him. For Him. And if you haven't surrendered to Him as Lord of your life, do it today. Tomorrow may be too late. And so as we take this cup and this bread, remembering what He has done for us, I'm asking us to really remember. Really, really remember the death on the cross for me, for you, for us, for human beings everywhere. And ask yourself, have I applied the blood? Have I been born again? Have I surrendered completely to Jesus Christ? Have I gotten myself out of the way to follow Jesus? Because that's the only way we can follow Jesus, to get ourselves out of the way. And if it isn't, then do it today. Examine yourself in a moment of prayer right now and see if we're worthy and ready to come to receive the Lord's table. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious and eternal God, we praise you this morning for loving us, for sending your Son to die for us, for giving us of your Spirit, for giving us your Word, for commissioning the 12 in the beginning, when you told them, go and make more disciples. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you wanted your word to go forth and you wanted people to be born again. You want people to be saved. You're not willing that any should perish, and you really desire that people, we have a very close relationship with you that's transformational. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for being willing to forgive. Thank you for your grace. Father, I just pray this morning for myself, this church, and the churches all over our region that we would be so willing to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you no matter what. I pray that we would be so willing to do that, nothing else would hinder us from it. I pray that we would say like the disciples that night, I won't deny you, I will die for you, and mean it. I pray that we will. I pray that your church will all over America have that kind of courage and steadfastness in the risen Christ, the same as people do in nations where they are dying for their faith every day. So ignite your church, O God, I pray. Set us on fire with the Holy Spirit of God, that we go from our places of worship today having been with Jesus, being salt and light Monday through Saturday in our communities, in our homes, in our workplaces, and being willing always to deny ourselves, walk with Jesus, even into death, if that's what He has called us to. Encourage your church, O God. Strengthen your church. Set us on fire with the Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.